Hello and welcome to The Talking Show. It is January 13th, lucky number 13. Time flies, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, not so lucky for the head of the United States today.
I don't know, might be a blessing in disguise. I'm Steve Cato, and the other voice you just heard is my co-host, Nicholas Miller.
Hi, Steve. Great to, well, sadly not be with you, but talk with you today.
Yeah, and we're sorry we missed last week. As you know, this time last week, there was, it was largely over at this time last week, but during the day, there was some sort of fracas at the nation's capital, and there were demonstrations at many state capitals as well. And as a result, and since it is both an essential and unessential communication organ, Kaecheng was just fully locked down.
Yeah.
And there
And, you know, we had on the books for years, we had had a very special guest for last week, but unfortunately, the ineffable Mr. John Mouse couldn't make it.
Seems like he was elsewhere. Yeah.
And yeah, he was
somewhere else. So, it's disappointing, and as a result of his other actions, it seems unlikely that well, John Mouse has been on the show before, actually, but it seems unlikely that he will be back.
Yeah.
So, shame.
We'll have to book Ariel Pink then.
Yeah. I hear he has great opinions about Palestine. Why not ask Ariel Pink about what he thinks about Palestine?
That's where I go for. For all my political opinions, right, straight to the haunted graffiti.
Boy.
Is it going to out that if you play those records backwards, you know, the whole time?
it's literally just Benjamin Netanyahu's voice. If you look at a haunted graffiti, Ariel Pink's haunted graffiti album on an oscilloscope, one of those like it draws that bomb that Netanyahu drew when he was trying to explain, I don't know, terrorism to the United Nations.
Jeez.
We had this visual aid that was just like a spy versus spy bomb. Do you remember that?
I don't think I caught that one.
Oh, it was amazing. It's like he's giving this speech to the UN or whatever, and he draws this like archetypal cartoon bomb to like explain the threat that like Iran or whatever poses to Israel, and you're like, people needed to see cartoon bomb, like it's not like this doesn't in any way resemble the actual bombs that, you know, you might justifiably fear, you know.
right,
no one's made a bomb that looked like this since, like, when were bombs that looked like that actually au courant, like the Napoleonic Wars?
Tail fins and stuff?
Oh, no. It was like round.
Oh, gosh.
With
like
a little
fuse.
Cylindrical sort of cuff popping out of the top and then a little fuse.
Yeah. They do always drop them into cannons and cartoons.
Yeah. Maybe, what are those?
Is there a Melvin Bragg in our time about bomb design?
Bombs?
Yeah.
There's one about gunpowder.
Okay. That's a little classier than bombs, though, that he would go there.
And it like interfaces with bombs, you know, but also, you know, fireworks and
you know, like, country hunting
and trade with China.
Sure. And global domination, and
things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's a good question. But yeah, every time like a bomb is realistically depicted outside of cartoons, you know, like in a movie or something, that's always like, you know, a bunch of sort of Ziploc baggies and like a digital watch.
I was always fond of the bomb that's portrayed in The Rock.
Well, remind me about that bomb.
The Rock, it's a 1990s film that's in the Criterion Collection, much to everyone's surprise.
This is the Nicolas Cage film.
Yeah, where they're in Sean Connery.
It's a prison break movie?
I think it's, if I remember correctly, it's like, you know, government experts gone wrong or something. You know, like they, like, like they were on the inside and they did many bad things for the government, and then now they're trying to get their own or something. I don't remember exactly why Nick Cage and Sean Connery end up in Alcatraz. But the plan is to bomb San Francisco with these bombs filled with some kind of nerve gas, which is just a catch-all for biological warfare. But they're like, you know, typical cylindrical objects. And then they have this like the way that some underwater animals lay eggs and strings.
Mm.
They have like these strings of little green orbs that you can pull out very delicately. And if one of them cracks, then, you know, within a zillion mile radius, everyone will be killed instantly.
I love that. That's great. And the Criterion Collection has decided that this is like part of our cultural history.
Most of them make sense within the curatorial, curatorial statement of the Criterion Collection. How that one got in there, I'm not sure.
Is it directed by someone fans? Is it like an outlying Robert Altman movie or something like that? Or
yeah, it's Jacques Demy's last film.
I mean, you know, but crazier things have happened, so I could believe it. You know, like wow.
It's Mr. Michael Bay.
Are you serious? Wow.
Yeah. Michael Bay, produced by none other than Jerry Bruckheimer.
That rules.
Yeah. I mean, Nick Cage is a Coppola, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But he's done films that would fit in there, like, you know, say Wild at Heart or something.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and even in terms of, like, they also do, like, aren't the Coen brothers now Criterion material and stuff like that? So it's like Raising Arizona, that's a fantastic Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah.
You know, I would say Face Off should be like John Woo, you know, like hyper stylized Hong Kong cinema, for example. Like there's a reason why that would be Criterion, you know. I could see like similar to like a Quentin Tarantino or something like that, right? Where there's like this sort of cinematic luxury to the proceedings in John Woo movies. So like I could see that that's why Face Off would be in there. Right. There's a lot of Nicolas Cage movies that could make it.
Yeah.
When they do Ghost Rider 2, that's when I'll know things have really gone off the rails.
Yeah.
He's in a Herzog movie or two, isn't he, as well?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, there was like a move in the aughts where Herzog was like, maybe this will be my new Kinski. American Herzog. I mean, in a way, he kind of did. It's if there's anyone who can wear the shirt, you know, it's probably
what's the one where he's a screenwriter who tries to kill himself by drinking in Vegas.
Oh, Adaptation or no. Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, that one should be in there for sure.
Is he also not an adaptation? As
he
well?
Is. Yeah. Also,
that's also a Criterion gem too, right? Like they love Kaufman.
Yeah.
So anyway, I feel like Nicolas Cage is a diverse enough actor that it'll be interesting will be people in the future trying to figure out what we thought of Nicolas Cage. You know, like just being like, well, we've got all these movies and what was the deal with this guy? You know, he's pretty good. When he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's really bad. He's in everything. He doesn't say no to anything. Like, he literally doesn't say no to any role at all, I think.
Oh,
he
man.
Must just take everything.
I got to get the Criterion version of The Rock. It's got, outtakes, storyboards, production design drawings, the do's and don'ts of Hollywood gunplay. Because, you know, normally there's just, like, some solid cultural content to mine for the special features. But with that movie,
yeah.
It's like, well...
Yeah, like
here's how they make the big expensive pictures.
Lots of people are curious about these explosions, let me tell you, kid.
Yeah.
That has to be like the last among the last Michael Bay movies to not be like half done inside a computer though, right?
Yeah. Oh goodness.
I feel like they'll do like the Mad. If they haven't, they'll do the Mad Max movies, which will mean that then they'll have to do Happy Feet. because that's his other, and Babe 2. They'll be like, we didn't do Babe 1, but we did do Babe 2. Because the guy from Mad Max also did that one.
Yeah. Well, last word on The Rock is that according to the Criterion site, the world premiere of the film was staged at the former prison Alcatraz.
Wow.
Yeah, I missed that one.
That's cool. Have you seen, is it called, the surfing movie is called Point Break, and then like, is it called like Boiling Point? It's like a Lee Marvin movie where he also like escapes from Alcatraz in 5 minutes at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, I don't know.
Point Break or like Point, it's got Point in there and like some it's a Lee Marvin. Anyway, it's fantastic. It's like the just purely nihilistic. He's essentially just like he's out for revenge. You know, some movies make escaping from Alcatraz the whole movie. And in this movie whose name eludes me, Lee Marvin escapes from Alcatraz while the opening credits are happening. and then just like he rampages through California, gets revenge on his enemies, treats everyone like shit. And really just sort of like takes a dump on everything he encounters, a violent dump on everything. And it, I bring it up because not only of the Alcatraz, The Rock connection, but also because it does sort of bring us close to the political views of our guest, who is a well-known perennial candidate in his native Japan. And since Nicholas and I have both been studying Japanese for the last little while, we're just going to present this talking absolutely untranslated because, you know, we understand it. And I'm sure that many of you also have been using quarantine to learn foreign languages, right?
So what else do you do?
I'm sure some of you have definitely learned Japanese. And lots of this is very, if you are learning Japanese, lots of this is very repetitive, so it'll give you a chance to like compare, and you know, go iterate through what you think you have learned and to reinforce knowledge you've already gained. But here we have Japanese nihilist political candidate Koichi Toyama giving us some of his excellent and fiery oratory in the aftermath of Trump's second impeachment in this clearly really great, well-functioning political system that we have here. So, ladies and gentlemen, Koichi Toyama.
東京都知事候補、無所属、富山光一、36歳。反管理教育運動を出発点に、異端的極左活動家となり、今時政治犯として2年投獄され、現在に至るも反体制知識人。では続いて、富山光一さんの政見放送です。
有権者諸君、私が富山光一である。諸君、この国は最悪だ。政治改革だとか何とか改革だとか、私はそんなことには一切興味がない。あれこれ改革して問題が解決するような、もはやそんな甘っちょろい段階にはない。こんな国はもう見捨てるしかないんだ。こんな国はもう滅ぼせ。私には建設的な提案なんか一つもない。今はただスクラップ&スクラップ、すべてをぶち壊すことだ。諸君、私は諸君を軽蔑している。このくだらない国を、そのシステムを支えてきたのは諸君に他ならないからだ。正確に言えば、諸君の中の多数派は私の敵だ。 私は諸君の中の少数派に呼びかけている。少数派の諸君、今こそ団結し立ち上がらなければならない。奴ら多数派はやりたい放題だ。我々少数派がいよいよもって生きにくい世の中が作られようとしている。少数派の諸君、選挙で何かが変わると思ったら大間違いだ。所詮選挙なんか多数派のお祭りに過ぎない。我々少数派にとって選挙ほどバカバカしいものはない。多数決で決めれば多数派が勝つに決まってるじゃないか。じゃあどうして立候補してんのか。その話は長くなるから掲示板のポスターを見てくれ。ポスターは2種類あるからどちらも見逃さないように。私はこの国の少数派に対する迫害にもう我慢ならない。少数派の諸君、多数派を説得することなどできない。奴ら多数派は我々少数派の声に耳を傾けることはない。奴ら多数派が支配するこんなくだらない国はもはや滅ぼす以外にない。改革なんかいくらやったって無駄だ。今進められている様々な改革はどうせ全部全て奴ら多数派のための改革じゃないか。我々少数派はそんなものに期待しないし、もちろん協力もしない。我々少数派はもうこんな国に何も望まない。我々少数派に残された選択肢はただ一つ、こんな国はもう滅ぼすことだ。ぶっちゃけて言えばもはや政府転覆しかない。少数派の諸君、これを機会に政府転覆の恐ろしい陰謀を共に進めていこうではないか。ポスターに連絡先が書いてあるから、選挙期間中でも終わってからでも構わない。私に一本電話を入れてくれ。もちろん選挙権のない未成年の職員や東京都以外の職員でも構わない。我々少数派には選挙なんかもともと全然関係ないんだから。最後に一応言っておく。私が当選したら奴らはビビる。私もビビる。富山光一に悪意の一票を、富山光一にやけっぱちの一票を、じゃなきゃ投票なんか行くな。どうせ選挙じゃ何も変わらないんだよ。
無所属富山光一さんの政見放送でした。
投票率ゼロ、選挙完全ボイコットを実現し、全員ゼロ票で福岡から議員を撲滅いたしましょう。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0%、 富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いにやってまいりました。選挙に出るような非常識な人に政治が任せられるでしょうか。選挙反対、福岡に議員はいります。選挙廃止、議会廃止を、アジア先進都市ここ福岡から富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いにやってまいりました。どうしてもそれでも投票に行くという方、仕方ありません。富山光一とお書きください。投票に行かないのと大体同じ結果が期待できます。舞台生の皆さん、選挙権はお持ちですか。捨ててください。投票権持ってない方、ね、選挙権持ってない方はお家に帰ってご両親の元に届いている選挙ハガキ、これを
隠すとか破るとか燃やすとか埋めるとかしてください。ご両親のものだけではありません。先輩の元に届いている選挙はがき、ね、これも燃やしてください。それから、ね、隣近所に届いている選挙はがき、これも燃やしてください。知らない人の選挙はがき、これも燃やしてください。選挙はがきを見つけたら燃やしてください。あんた目指せ投票率 0% 富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。南区役所にお越しの皆さん、まさか投票ではないでしょうね。投票率 0% を目指して頑張った富永候補のご健闘をお祈りいたします。さあ、どこかにしてください。明治維新は選挙で起こったのでありませんよ。維新の党の富永さん、選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0% 富山光一です。維新の富山偏りがほど明治維新に近い、選挙には頼らない富山光一でございます。
富山光一が九州大学芸術学部の皆さんに前衛芸術のご飯をお見せしに参りました。
選挙反対、選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0% 富山光一です。動物園の動物を見習って選挙には絶対に行かないようお願い申し上げます。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0% 富山光一です。あ、虐待勢力が投票キャンペーンをなんか架け橋だとかわけのわからないことを言ってます。ああいう人が通ってしまいますので、投票には行かないようお願い申し上げます。区役所方面にお越しの皆さん、もし投票だったらやめてください。帰ってください。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0% 富山統一が投票ボイコットのお願いにやってまいりました。投票率ゼロで全員ゼロ票、落選を目指しましょう。区役所方面にお越しの皆さん、投票だったら今すぐ引き返してください。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0% 富山統一が投票ボイコットのお願いにやってまいりました。前の方で胸を張って元気よく、中新助君胸を張って元気よく、何を言ってるのか全く分かりません。選挙反対、何が政治と関係あるんでしょうかね。胸を張って元気よく、あ、多分その辺の人と一緒じゃないですかね。やめてください、そういう選挙運動はね。選挙反対、ああいう人を通しても仕方ありません。投票率ゼロで全員ゼロ票、当選者ゼロを目指しましょう。田中信介候補、どうでもいい演説ご苦労様です。さすが仕事プロですね。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0% 富山光一です。福岡に議員はいりません。選挙廃止、議会廃止はアジア先進都市、ここ、あ、竹候補のご健闘、思いの竹を県政に、何を言ってるのかさっぱり分かりません。目指せ投票率 0% 富山光一が道に迷いながら投票ボイコットのお願いになってまいりました。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0% 富山光一です。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0% 富山光一が道に迷いながら、明治が候補のご健闘をお祈りしています。隅田候補のご健闘を上辺だけお祈りいたします。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0% 富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いにやってまいりました。選挙に出るような非常識な人に政治が任せられますか。選挙反対、投票率ゼロで全員ゼロ票、当選者ゼロを目指してまいりましょう。
投票用紙を捨てましょう。投票用紙を捨てる、破る、燃やす、切り刻む、富山光一でございます。大城候補のご健闘を適当にお祈りしております。富山光一でございます。一緒に頑張って選挙反対、選挙に
どうしても投票に行きたい人は富山光一とお書きください。投票に行かないのと大体同じ結果が期待できます。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0% 力強い応援ありがとうございます。選挙権を持っている方は投票に行かない、ね、選挙権を持ってない人は
家に帰ってお父さんお母さんの選挙はがきを隠したりして焼いたり煮たりする。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 小山浩一です。西南学院中学出身の恥ずか頼もしい先輩小山浩一が投票ボイコットのお願いにやってまいりました。選挙反対、中国大使館の皆さんね、見習って民主主義をなくしてまいります。選挙反対
小山でございます。三枝候補のご健闘はお祈りいたしますが、選挙に出るような人に政治が任せられるでしょうか。選挙反対、
投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。安倍候補のご健闘はお祈りいたします。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山姿勢をジャッジ、何を言ってるのかよく分かりませんがご検討はお祈り申し上げます。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一が投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。投票率ゼロで全員ゼロ票、当選者ゼロを目指しましょう。皆さんが投票に行くから誰かが当選してしまうんです。誰も投票に行かなければ誰も当選できません。投票には絶対に行かないようお願い申し上げます。一人でも投票に行かれますと誰かが当選してしまうんです。安倍さんとかが当選してしまうかもしれない。やめてください、迷惑です。安倍候補のご検討はお祈りいたします。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一です。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一です。
選挙反対目指せ投票率 0%
富山浩一です。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一です。富山浩一です。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一です。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一です。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一です。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一です。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一です。
選挙反対
目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一です。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 富山浩一です。大城候補のご検討をいやいやお祈り申し上げます。大城候補のご検討を心はなしで全く、ワードだけで、稲和候補のご検討をいやいや、お祈り申し上げます。どうしても投票に行かれる方は小山浩一とお書きください。投票に行かないのと大体同じ結果が期待できます、ね。パトカーを通りましたが何も違法なことはしておりません。合法的に合法の範囲内で選挙妨害をやってもらっております。音楽以外のパンクロッカー小山浩一が音楽以外の方法でパンクスピリッツを伝えに参りました。小山浩一です。お手を振ってのご協力のことにありがとうございます。選挙反対国田候補のご検討だけ、何です。感動姿勢に何を言ってるのかさっぱり分かりませんが、ご検討はお祈りいたします。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 小山浩一が投票率ゼロの訴えになりました。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0% 先ほどこちらに感動姿勢にとかね、わけのわからないこと言ってる方いらっしゃいましたけど、あんなものを通してるからろくなことにならないんです。選挙に出るような人に政治が任せられるでしょうか。選挙反対立憲候補のご検討をお祈りしつつ、私も原発は反対ですが選挙にも反対です。選挙反対目指せ投票率 0%
5%、原発反対で選挙 賛成の池高校に微妙な気持ちを抱きながら、富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。目指せ投票率 0%、富山光一です。稲和候補のご検討はいやいやながら一応お祈り申し上げます。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0%、 投票率0で全員0票、当選者0を目指しましょう。選挙に出るような人に政治が任せられますか？選挙に出る時点であんまり信用できません。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0%、 富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。稲和候補のご検討をいやいやながら、選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0%、 富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。こっち行きにくそうですね、選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0%、 すみません、富山光一が謝りながら投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。富永候補のご検討はお祈りいたします。選挙に出るような人に政治が任せられますか？選挙反対、民主主義だと富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。投票率ゼロで全員0票、当選者0を目指しましょう。皆さんが投票に行くから誰かが当選してしまうんです。誰一人投票に行かなければ全員0票、誰も当選できません。選挙には絶対に行かないようお願い申し上げます。一人でも選挙に行きますと誰かが当選してしまいます。富永候補が当選してしまうかもしれません。やめてください、迷惑です。富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。選挙に出るような人に政治が任せられるでしょうか？選挙反対、福岡市から議会をなくしましょう。選挙廃止、議会廃止はアジア先進都市の福岡から。富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。どうしても、もしどうしても投票に行くという方いらっしゃいましたら、富山光一とお書きください。投票に行かないのと全く同じ結果になります。富山光一です。選挙反対、投票率ゼロで全員0票、全員落選を目指しましょう。富永候補のご検討はお祈りしております。我が党に維新の党というのが走っております、ね、だけど明治維新やった人、ね、幕末の志士というのは大体幕府から見るとテロリストでございました。維新の党の皆さんはなぜか政府が認めた選挙で世の中を変えようというね、どこが維新なんでしょう、選挙に期待するような維新、選挙で明治維新が起きたのではないということを維新の党の方には理解していただきたいと思います。選挙では何も変わりません。選挙反対、民主主義打倒、目指せ投票率 0%、 富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いに参りました。維新とか言ってる方いらっしゃいますけれども、明治維新は選挙で起きたわけではありません。世の中を本気で変えたいなら、あんなこととかあんなこととか、あるいはあんなこととかをした方がいいと私が知っている危ない人が言っていました。私もそう思います。選挙反対、目指せ投票率 0%、 富山光一です。
8時
が過ぎているのになぜ選挙カーが、これは選挙カーではありません。政治結社の凱旋者でございます。富山光一が投票ボイコットのお願いに。
場合によっては自らズカズカと乗り込んで解決を図ろうとしてきた。そんなことは世界が全てアメリカであるという認識に立たなければ到底理解も容認もできないことだ。実際もはや世界は全部アメリカなのだ。なんと素晴らしい。私はアメリカが大好きだ。私はかつて2年間政治犯として投獄されたことがあるが、釈放されるや否やマクドナルドに駆け込みビッグマックとポテトとコーラを注文したことだ。とても美味しかった。好きな映画は大抵ハリウッド製だし、ビートルズも素晴らしい。うるさい、イギリスだってアメリカじゃないか。とにかく私はアメリカが大好きだし、自分がアメリカ人であることを誇りに思っている。いや、思っていた。私に参政権がないことを知らされた今日まではだ。私は祖国に裏切られた思いだ。諸君は知っていたのか。アメリカの人口はもはや60億を超えているというのに、そのうち参政権を認められているのはわずか2億人にも満たないことも。我がアメリカは民主主義の国ではなかったのか。全人口のわずか30分の1の人間で全てを決めることの一体どうが民主主義なのだ。絶望した。わずか30分の1以下の民主主義に絶望した。私はもうたまに来た。こうなったら私は私なりのやり方でアメリカ大統領選に勝手に立候補することにした。私はアメリカ人だ。当然本質的に非選挙権を持っている。全世界全人民に次ぐ。諸君もまたみんなアメリカ人だ。当然本質的に選挙権を有している。その上で私は諸君に抗議の危険運動を呼びかける。今回のアメリカ大統領選において投票しなかった者は全員私を支持したとみなす。白票や無効票を投じた者についても同様だ。これで私はもう勝ったも同然だ。マケインもオバマもどうせたかだか取って数千万票だ。私はこのまま何もしなくても60数億票どうだ参ったか。わずか30分の1以下の支配者たちに次ぐ。私のアメリカ大統領就任を阻止したければ今すぐ残り60数億人の参政権を認めろ。さもなくばもう世界の問題に首を突っ込むのはやめろ。イラクのことはイラク人に、イランのことはイラン人に、朝鮮のことは朝鮮人に、日本のことは我々日本人に、すべてのことはその地に生活する人々に自由に決めさせろ。そもそも世界すべてをアメリカ色に染めようというのが間違いだったのだ。私がアメリカ大統領に当選した暁にはそのことを心から反省し、今後アメリカは北アメリカ大陸の一部のみとし、その他の地域はとりあえず約200の独立国として分割する。
Wow.
It was something else.
I really appreciate just approaching your political career without the need to be seen as likable, you know? It's always irked me that people would say, like, oh, I feel like I could have a beer with George W. Bush. This is good. You know, and you're like, no, if someone's in power, they should be like a weird psycho whose only concern is like running a country, you know, like who eats and sleeps running a country, who has nothing in common with normal people. Because like normal people don't do this job, it's not for normal people. And Koichi also makes the point, right, that like, why would you trust anyone running for office to be in office? Which I think is a really good point. He's like, what kind of weirdos do you think want this job? They shouldn't have this job. You should just not have this political system in the first place. What are your thoughts?
I was particularly taken by the bit about running for American president and his frustration to learn that he cannot run as a Japanese citizen for the presidency of the United States, even though so much of the policies set forth by the United States affect the entire world, the entire globe.
Yeah.
So, you know, why his argument being in a sense, we're all under the dominion of this sovereign. So why can't we participate in its supposedly democratic politics?
Yeah. Well, and further, that he takes every vote not cast in the election as being a vote for him.
Yeah. Which I think would mean he'd win in the U.S., right?
It's literally almost at this point beyond comedy that's like the strategy of like one of the two major parties.
Right.
I also like how he makes clear his disgust at most of the electorate when he just like openly declares the people he's asking to not vote for him or to spoil a vote in his name that he just openly despises them, which I feel is like the kind of thing that like people have been saying on a policy level sort of throughout my entire life, where, you know, from the Reagan years on in this country and in Canada, where I also since the Mulroney years, like the people in charge are literally saying that, like, yeah, they are disgusted by the sight of all of you, but in their policies, but they would never say that to your face, during an election, for example. And I feel like it's a bold move. I'm sort of glad to hear someone just come out and say it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I shudder to think what the presidents during my adult years would say in an unfiltered sense.
You know, I mean, we have that picture of like Hillary Clinton in the inside of someone's apartment just making that face. You know, that meme where she's like, oh, this is how you like, this is a way that people live, you know, and it's not even that, and to my mind, it's not even that bad, you know, because it's like, I compare that kitchen to like punk houses I have been in,
right?
You know, where you're just like, oh, wow. So there's no hot water in here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, nope.
But there's water,
about an inch of water across the ground in general on the lower levels of the house.
Yeah. Oh, an inch. It's a good day.
We like to hang out on the upper level of the house because there's less water on the floor up there.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We will be using electricity in the basement, which is definitely very moist. Go ahead, plug in your amp. roll the dice. Is today your day? Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I feel like the contempt's always been there, but we never get them to come out. No brave soul has come out yet and actually said anything. Indeed. Anything else?
There's the bit about driving around the country in a van.
Yeah.
just kind of screaming at the populace.
Yeah. And every political party does this.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they kind of, the Trump supporters kind of did that in Pasadena.
I guess that's true.
They were driving around for weeks before the election, you know, with megaphones. I don't think Pasadena went red, as far as I know.
Huh. Didn't work.
No, but, you know, it didn't work for our guest tonight either.
No, it's true. Power still eludes Toyama Koichi. I like how he wants to make everyone a loser in the elections as a version of equality. But I do think it's funny how political like Japan had democracy more or less imposed on it when they lost World War II.
Mm-hmm.
By General MacArthur,
right,
whose park I sit next to, but which mysteriously has a statue of General Pershing in it. And I believe there's a statue of MacArthur at Pershing Square, which makes me feel like someone was doing statue delivery and got confused and then they just never fixed it.
Swap-a-rooney.
Right. I feel like there's something about the way campaigning works where, like, yeah, your campaign drives vans around town yelling at people with megaphones. And this is normal. Like, this is something you would just do in Japan if you were getting a political campaign going. You'd be like, so have we got van rental secured? You know, we've got, like, the decals and the PA system for the van. We got that worked out, guys. You know, like, anyone. You're running for mayor. You're running for whatever. You'd be like, so we got to get a van. And then the candidates themselves also stand on street corners and bow at people wearing a sash with their name on it, which is also amazing. Because I feel like if that happened here, people would just get, like, shot or something. like you would get, like, a bunch of guys would pile out of a van and beat you with sticks or something. All public appearances have to be so stage managed as opposed to just, like, park on a street corner and bow at everyone that goes by.
Right.
Which is bananas. I couldn't imagine. Like, could you just imagine, like, Eric Garcetti, like, just parking on a street corner and bowing?
No, I couldn't even imagine him shaking hands.
Yeah. Well, I could see, like, at a moment where he's, like, you know, he's chosen to the planetarium as, like, an exemplar of, like, the new kind of COVID safe entertainment industry adjacent knowledge, high value knowledge work that's being showcased in Garcetti's Los Angeles. I could see him,
right,
you know, coming by the studio with a team of people. You all get makeup done, they turn on the lights, they take a picture of, you know, you and Jeffrey shaking Garcetti's hand and then the lights leave and you get a little plaque.
But I feel like vague memories of childhood watching presidential campaigns, and that they'd, like, you know, go to certain towns and shake everybody's hand. Maybe even Trump did that.
Yeah, I think everyone does that, but it's still like, the moment is announced. They like the vehicle, sure, the bus disgorges the candidate. There's like their handlers by their side. And, you know, like there was that before campaigning in general ended during the primary season. You know, there was that moment where they, like, unleashed Joe Biden on a crowd of, like, union workers, and a guy started yelling at him, and he just told him to vote for Trump. it still happens, but, like, it's not like they just park him on the corner. They don't just leave him there till dark, you know? Like, Joe, just stand in the corner. Just chill out in the corner for a while.
So then are there, like, you know, do all the candidates in Japan line up? Will there be, like, the first day there's, like, 30 of them?
Yeah, I think that, as with here too, you know, there's like always more candidates than are sort of official candidates, right? There's like, you know, like you would think that only two people are running for president, but in fact, you know, like something like six people or something like that were running for president actually, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in addition to like the libertarians and maybe like the Marxist-Leninists and whatever else. These perennial sort of fourth and fifth parties. There's also, you know, like Vermin Supreme or someone like that who's always running, right? So there's always guys like that who run. But in Japan, everyone gets the same amount of political airtime.
Oh, wow.
So it's paid for by the government. And so, like, you know, everyone gets this, like, slot after the late night news where, you know, one guy harangues you for a little while, and then that's his turn, and he's over. So everyone gets to see it, which is cool too. And they have to go through everyone. They're like, and now this guy who's never going to get exactly no votes, here he is. And now this guy, no one cares, you know, like the guy who's like, we must restore like the shogunate, you know, because the other funny thing is that there are like objectively like true monarchist fascists who run in every Japanese election. Who are like, no, the emperor is God, and we should bring him back as the godhead. Here's
the evidence.
there's no evidence. They're just like, it's what's right. It's the foundation of Japan. Yeah.
Have you seen his blood?
It is the basis of our power.
Yeah,
he comes from the sun. That's the story.
Stop pretending that it's not true.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, honestly, if they did, the emperor would be so pissed. He'd just be like, what are you doing in my house? Stop this. Gee. Oh, no. No. No, thanks. Jeez. I have a mall to open. But in a way, you know, not to praise the existence of an overt fascist party, but I feel like it would really take a lot of heat out of the American political system if we could just have like one complete maniac far right party and then let the sort of corporate right do their thing. You know, they would feel relieved if they didn't have to deal with, you know, if there was like an emperor that they could gather around. So who knows? I was wondering, you know, like I was reflecting in the moment of political chaos, that's really just been sort of on an ongoing ebbing and flowing wave, I guess, over the last 4 years or so. But I was reflecting on the early Democratic primary when there were people who were like, at least maybe where I was in Austin, they were like, I am vehemently for Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah.
You know, and like people talk about like dead end Bernie bros or whatever, people who were like Bernie or nothing, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And those people exist, obviously, right? Because it's like, I think Bernie had like very clear and substantial policy differences from the other people running. So you could be like, this is what I want. No one else is offering what I want. And this guy, this is what I want. But like, I could not imagine like Beto dead enders who are just like so disappointed it's Biden.
Yeah, I remember oftentimes people, I hate the argument in primaries. People are like, this candidate could never win the election. And you're like, well, yeah. that's like predicting the weather. I don't know.
Yeah.
But with him, it almost half made sense because they're like, well, he didn't win his local election. You know, most of them like either hadn't tried, like Yang or someone, but then... Yeah.
Has so no like, record at all.
Like, well, I don't know, maybe, who knows? He might catch the public imagination. But with that him, you're like, well, I don't know.
You're on the books as a loser, friend.
Exactly. there's a bad track record here.
You know what's funny is last night, I went on a long bike ride yesterday, and that's where I remembered Beto O'Rourke existed somehow. kilometer 75 of this bike ride, I'm like, Beto O'Rourke, where are his fans now? Is anyone like holding out for him still, you know, like just be like a Beto truther, like Beto was robbed. Like just, it's just like really hard to imagine, I think, for me, and therefore funny to imagine. But then, when I got home, Meredith had this, you know, from, innocently donating money to various Democratic races over the years, she now gets like, 50 emails a day, that are all in all caps being like, you know, national emergency, stop the coup. And she got an email from, you know, not obviously not personally from, but, you know, allegedly personally from Beto O'Rourke, inviting her to stop Ted Cruz.
Okay. Because he's supposed to run for president next. That's what they say.
Well, I mean, and maybe as a result of him like clearly supporting these baseless conspiracy theories that the election was stolen,
I see.
enabled the sort of attack on the Capitol last week, which prevented Kaechung from broadcasting for a day, which is, you know, obviously a crime. But Beto, stopping Ted Cruz was literally your job. Like, don't ask my spouse, Meredith, to stop Ted Cruz.
You, yeah, LA-based sculptor.
Yeah.
You.
It's not her job. you, on unemployment, LA-based sculptor, must stop Ted Cruz. Like, unfortunately, it's literally exactly Beto Rook's one job is to stop Ted Cruz. You're asking the wrong person. Like, Beto O'Rourke, look in a mirror, stop right. Ted Cruz. Send this email to yourself.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Whereas if he was Beto. Like, you, help me re-release my high school band tapes or something, then...
Yeah, or check them out on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be like, oh, the guys from At the Drive-In were in that band with Beto. It must be pretty good.
Right.
I'm not a big At the Drive-In fan, but like maybe... You know, maybe there's things I would like about the earlier efforts, you know, a sort of youthful naivete.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am sad that Beto did not make it farther, just because I know that, like, on the late night talk shows, they love to have people on there and do, like, drum battles with the guy who leads the house band.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And, like, I feel like Beto could actually probably play, you know, like, he definitely knows how to play drums. So it'd be, like... a fun one, you know, like they'd be like, oh, look, this candidate actually like has some chops, like he would have to practice or whatever, but you know, he'd be up there with like Questlove on Kimmel or whatever, you know, like trading licks. I feel like an opportunity was missed to have everyone like whip out a secondary. I feel like the primary should be also sort of like a beauty contest where you have to have like another skill that you have to demonstrate. You're like, these are my policies, but also like I tap dance, or like I play the drums, you know, and you're like, oh, cool.
Enough language. Now we're getting to the feats of strength or something.
Yeah. Like watch me do judo, or like I can, how much can that candidate cannot lift as much as I can lift.
Yeah. Like the Miss America pageants.
Yeah, exactly. Like you need like one bonus.
You're, you know, traditionally gorgeous and you play the piano.
Great. yeah, I think they should have to show us that, you know. I want to learn what everyone's hobby is and then like identify them with that hobby. Like I'm Andrew Yang and I'm a competitive eater, and you know, I'm for my trick I'm going to demolish this entire, you know, vat of hot dogs,
right?
And you're like,
I'm Donald Trump and I yodel.
Yeah, right, you know. Or I was in the World Wrestling Federation. Things of this nature.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm Vin Diesel, and you don't even have to ask.
You know, if he doesn't run soon, I don't know where this country... He's the only one that can save us.
Or The Rock. I feel like he's got a... Dwayne Johnson has a better chance.
They should run at a Fast and Furious unified
ticket.
Oh,
they should run the same ticket. Yeah. The Rock and Vin. Vinny and
Toretto
The Rock.
And what's Dwayne Johnson's character's name in the Fast and the Furious franchise?
I don't know.
Hobbs.
Oh yeah.
Agent Hobbs and Vinny Toretto for I feel like The Rock should be VP even though he's bigger.
You know, there's probably a very straightforward way to settle who gets what in that race.
Like an arm wrestle?
Yeah. So just something to have to do with muscles or speed.
I feel like since Vin Diesel is like a known Dungeons and Dragons fan,
yeah,
you know, that he's probably a pretty good DM, and I feel like he's got like, you know, it's like a little bit smarter.
Yeah, perhaps.
He should be the one who gets to be president, and then
yeah.
The Rock is like broadly loved and like a... an ambassador of goodwill, and everyone will just enjoy having him around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also probably pretty smart too. But
well, and for next time, we should come up with their cabinet, you know, just for.
that Korean guy who's in Tokyo Drift, Secretary of the Interior. Yeah. Actually, Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman. She's in those movies too.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah. Oh, goodness. All the stars come out.
The stars collide.
I'm all for a Diesel and Rock ticket.
Yep.
I think it could win. I think it would be maybe the only chance of expanding the pool of voters in the next election, which I have a feeling will really contract. I have a feeling very few people are going to be interested in participating in the oncoming moment, but we'll see. Anyway, or if they take Toyama Koichi's advice, no one vote in the next election.
Yeah.
0% participation. Everyone stop. Your vote hasn't been suppressed if you didn't want it in the first place.
Yeah.
Anyway, the whole damn system's out of order.
Jeez.
Cheese Louise.
I guess we should welcome what may be our very brief new president, Michael Pence, to the limelight and wish.
Yeah, right.
We'd like to wish everyone here in Chinatown a good morning.
Good morning. Oh, boy.